Welcome along, everybody. We're back together again for another look at the latest from the World Cup and any La Liga news. Not a lot of La Liga news, but we'll bring you what we can. And we'll answer some of the big questions, such as why Vikings cute and other murderous, rampaging empires are dealt with properly by history.
And, never heard that. That's a massive insult to Vikings.
All this kind of, look at us being Vikings with our helmets and stuff like that. You know, if you turned up dressed like the British Empire, people would be outraged, wouldn't they? You know? Yeah. They weren't nice, the Vikings. It wasn't funny.
It's pretty dramatic in terms of cultures, though, isn't it? Out in America, watching the people doing the rowing and the celebrations after the games that Norway do. And it's fun, but it wasn't fun. I take your point.
Yeah, it all comes crashing to an end on Saturday night. Maybe. Right. And the other thing, just wait, Terry. Just wait till the FIFA Ethics Committee get hold of this Balogun story. Infantino is going to be terrified. He is. Yes. We'll have a look at the big stories at the World Cup. And is, hang on, Pep Chavarria going to Chelsea? We'll give some thought to that as well.
Pep Chavarria, when I was asked. One that plays for Rio. That's pretty good. Where's he going? What? we'll see.
Yes, we'll see. It's not done. It's not done yet, but we'll see. We'll get Terry. There's a little foreshadowing of Terry's thoughts on the matter. Right then. So there's some big stories. Obviously, the big names keep falling now at this stage of the competition. Ronaldo's gone, Terry. Cristiano Ronaldo out of the World Cup.
No, Portugal. No, Portugal.
Is that who he plays for? Right, okay. I wondered who those other fellas were running around doing all of the work. We might as well do it. So Spain beat Portugal. So we're doing Spain and we're doing Portugal together. But honestly, played the whole game, three touches in the penalty area. They didn't put Gonzalo Ramos on. Gonzalo Ramos is not some dummy. He's a proper centre forward who came on in the previous game. A great scandal that he came on, scored, and then had to be punished. Well, you can't do that again because we've got 41-year-old Ronaldo who's going to stand around waiting for a chance to come his way. Three touches at the box in the opposition penalty area, 19 touches at the box in the game. Not a chance created in the whole tournament by their centre forward. It's they hamstrung themselves. It was bizarre.
They did. And I think everybody's come to that conclusion in hindsight. I do feel that Roberto Martinez was in a difficult position. I mean, he made the substitution. Gonzalo Guedes came in and scored the winner, gets them through. Then the next game, if he doesn't start Ronaldo and they lose, do you imagine the pouring of the outcry?
But you've got to, you can't manage on that basis, can you? Because you that way you're into a can't win. You can't lose unless they win the tournament. But you've got to look at it. Therefore, you've got to make the right decision, haven't you? You can't be second guessing what people are going to say in the media or on social media. You can look at that and say, look, he was a great player, Ronaldo. And he's been in Saudi. He's been in Saudi, not at the level. You know, he dropped a level because he wanted to go and score a load of goals and get paid a load of money. Good luck to him. By all means, do that. But he's not the level to play as a centre forward for a team that's going to win the World Cup.
No, and it's twofold as well. We can highlight these lack of touches in the penalty box, lack of chances created. Also, when the opposition have the ball, it's the easiest thing in the world for Kubasi and Laporte. They're under no pressure. No one's closing them down to bring the ball out, play it into midfield unopposed. So it's... But there's a theme in this World Cup that players at centre-forwards that don't have a lot of touches. Haaland's scoring a goal every 13 touches.
Yeah.
He's scoring a goal every 13 touches. Messi in the last game sprinted 50 metres in the whole game. Scored a goal. That's not even running from the byline to the halfway line, flat out, in 90 minutes. So you can get away with that, but there has to be an end product with Ronaldo in this tournament. Whether it's through his own fault or Portugal's fault. And they've been disappointing as well. I potentially thought they could win this. But it was the provision, the asterisk is alongside if Ronaldo's not playing, probably. I'm thinking that.
And this is not hindsight. I will say we've been saying this from the we've said this. I don't know if other people have said it, but we've said it from the beginning. They play Ramos, bring him on. If you bring him on as an impact sub, Ronaldo is 41. He can't play 120, 100 minutes, 120 minutes.
And I think that allegedly the plan was that Roberto Martinez wanted to use Gonçalo
Ramos.
Ramos in the extra time as the extra sub. But you can't take that chance. You can't. Spain are doing that. They're putting on their players to change the game and win it in 90 minutes. Portugal made changes, but probably the most obvious change they didn't make. And maybe then, as you said, maybe if it'd been going, if it, going towards the latter stages of the game, put Ronaldo on. When the game slowed down and it's become more chaotic because both teams have probably changed half their teams. That's probably the time to use him. But it's, I mean, he's come out and said it's his last World Cup. No shit. He's 45. I mean, Modric has pushed it, but he got better as the tournament went on. But he's not on the cutting edge of the team, is he, Luka Modric? He's doing the same as he's always done, in amongst everything in midfield. Technique is important. He can still work hard. But when you're playing as the centre forward and you're 41, then you need that cutting edge up front. It's the most important area on the pitch. And if you are not able to do what you were able to do 5 years ago, let's say, I mean, it's when you're 36, that we're talking about a 41-year-old centre forward. And you hear stories about why Portuguese managers are selected for the job, and they're asked what would they do regarding Ronaldo, and some have said they would have discarded him and moved on in a different direction. They haven't got the job. Some have said, no, he's still hugely important. He is a cash cow for the Portuguese Football Federation. That's the problem. And that cash cow of selling shirts and bringing the glamour and the prestige to Portugal has ended up with them. I mean, if he'd not played, they might still not have won the World Cup. But I think they had a better chance with a proper centre forward who's up to the job, rather than a 41-year-old who used to be brilliant, one of the best players that's ever played the game of football. And it's a talking point. And at the same time, it's clouded the judgment, must be the fact that Messi's still doing it. I know he's a little bit younger, but he's still delivering. So does Roberto Martinez think maybe Ronaldo still can do what he used to do?
Don't let your judgment be
It's,
clouded. Is the
yeah.
if you want to be a World Cup winning manager, keep a clear head. And
Yeah.
I don't think he did.
But other players were disappointed in that team as well. Coutinho and João Neves didn't ever really, I mean, they didn't look any match for the Spain midfield, and the Spain midfield didn't play well. So, it was a day for Coutinho and João Neves and Bruno Fernandes to actually dominate that midfield of Spain, because we'll talk about Spain in the moment. But there was an opportunity there for a midfield of those three players for Portugal to dominate, and they didn't. And I thought Spain, without playing well, kind of did deserve the win.
And all of
It's
this, Roberto didn't even get the Al Nasser job in the end, did he? He was given it to
no,
Postecoglou, so
yeah, I know. It's yeah, that's a strange one. I thought that was a so I don't know. As always in the World Cup, managers do come to the end of their tenure depending on results. And I don't know what's happening with Ancelotti. Is Ancelotti still in charge? I think he is at the moment, but
Well,
I don't know how that's going to
we'll
pan out.
come back to him. Let's do Spain because I want to ask you about Brazil and Ancelotti. But let's do Spain. So
So
they,
who sacked their manager? Tunisia sacked their manager, didn't they? Put a new manager in, and there he's gone.
Hervé Renard, who's I think he must be the only one who hasn't done, I think, in Africa. So so he popped up.
Which is another point of mine that I'll make a bit later.
Right. Okay. Right. So yeah. So onto Spain, the choices they made. I was thinking about this. If Spain, who've they got? They've got Belgium, haven't they now? So if Spain were to lose to Belgium, we'd all go around quite happily saying they didn't play very well in the World Cup. They didn't really ever hit their straps. Also, if they beat Belgium, you could also I'm just as happy to say, oh yeah, I mean the bubble they're under, they're not brilliant, but they're getting there, and you wouldn't want to play them. They haven't, I guess they haven't had their defining game yet.
No, there was hope against Austria. What I would say about Spain is it's not the Spain we all thought we would see in this World Cup. Going into the tournament, I was concerned about who would be in goal, who would be playing at the back. I was surprised that Lionel Mendes wasn't in the squad. You know, is it going to be Pedro Porro? I'm not too sure about him as a Spurs fan. I'm pessimistic. Who's going to be? If anything, the defence is the weak part of the team. And here we are, 5 games in, they haven't conceded a goal. And here we are looking at Rodri and Pedri as a double pivot, not allowing any chances, any shots on goal. They're protecting the back four. But they're not creating. Pedri's not being anywhere near as creative as he does for Barcelona. Players are coming in and out of different positions in the attacking positions. And 1 minute they look a world beater, maybe coming off the bench. Then they get a start in the next game and they're never very good. 1 minute Oyarzabal in the 5 games so far, he's probably had 2 good games. And the other three, you're looking, thinking, oh, is he the centre forward they need? But who else is there? They've got the issues with the attacking players, whether they're fit or not. Nico Williams clearly isn't. I did hear, we're not getting a lot of information either because he's taking part in training. So he's there and thereabouts. There's obviously every game that's happening now. Yesterday, I thought he would be fit for the bench and fit to come on. He didn't. I'm assuming that's going to be the case for the next game as well. Victor Minyoth hasn't kicked the ball yet. He's not been fit. Jeremy Pino had a shoulder injury. Allegedly, he's fit and available again, but on the bench, but didn't come on.
Getting
So it
hard
kind of
now.
feels like they're nursing players through in the hope that they get to the next stage. And resting them is
But
preferential to risking them.
it's hard now as the tournament goes on with Nico Williams, isn't it? To now, so when does he come back? In a World Cup quarterfinal? In a World Cup semi-final? Are you coming back from injury? So it's hard to know.
I guess 20 minutes in the next game. A bit longer, maybe, in the last one. Fit for the final if they get to it. But that's a long shot. He's barely been fit all season, to be honest. Victor Muñoz is another one that could make a difference from the bench. Yesterday, you're looking at Borja Iglesias finally gone. And Ferran Torres came on and made a huge difference. And yet, when Ferran Torres, it's just like Barcelona. When Ferran Torres starts week in, week out, we're going, oh, he's not the player. Gets left on the bench, comes off the bench, and you go, oh, do you know what? He could be the player.
Did you
And
think, right, because
that's the role he's
I
got.
wasn't convinced by him yesterday. I thought I'm going to look at his foot more. I'm going to look at some stats, Terry, on him, because I thought he was really careless. I thought he
I think
messed.
it was daring.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe that's the difference. Careless and daring. He's trying things. He tried a couple of hard turns. When the ball was played into him, he tried to a couple of one-touch passes. He tried a couple of turns. Some come off, some didn't, where he just flicked around the corner and beat the defender. On occasions, he didn't. He played a huge part in the goal. His movement was excellent. Lovely pass. He just looked livelier, whereas the point you're making is Spain don't need any more possession. They don't. They can. We could accuse Spain of being pretty hard to watch, bordering on boring. And when both teams were like that yesterday, it was a hard watch. You know, going into the game, you're thinking Spain, Portugal, well, that'd be a cracker. It wasn't. Now both teams are technically really efficient. Do they take enough chances? They didn't yesterday because they had a healthy respect for each other. And then suddenly, when the game gets broken up and different players come on and they try something different, Spain looked better. At times they looked good yesterday. It's clear when they play one touch passing really fast, they are really good. No one better. And you know the goal came about with quick three or four passes from a quick free kick, or Oyarzabal's chance in the first half. That came about with three or four one touch passes. They need to do that more because they are really good here. They've got the capabilities of doing it. The movement off the ball is good. The passing is good. But at times they're guilty of taking slew too long in possession, letting teams get back into a defensive shape. And then at times you're looking at Spain thinking, is Oyarzabal the player? His goals record is good in this tournament. His goals record for Spain is good in this tournament. But there are times when you're watching Spain, you think, there's no one there to score. You know, they get behind the defence, they cross it, lack of bodies in the box. Alex Baena was another one, had a really good game against Austria, was poor yesterday, didn't really contribute. So that must be difficult for De La Fuente at the moment to pick a team that he can trust. Dani Olmo is another one. One game he's really good, next game he's not. And then when Torres and Miguel Merino come on, you've seen a difference to Baena and Dani Olmo. So it's Fabian Ruiz is another top quality player. I don't think they would leave Pedri out. But they've got to get Pedri playing better. Lamine Yamal is nearly there. Now, is he going to show it in the next game against Belgium? Every possibility. I mean, he's threatening, isn't he? He's beating one or two defenders. He's not beating the third. He's beating two defenders. They're blocking his shot. They're blocking his cross. So it's. I think I do see signs of Lamine Yamal getting better.
Yeah. Oh, he's been playable so far, hasn't he? To use that sort of mild insult. Whereas some of the, it is a World Cup of some of the big names are doing it, aren't they? And delivering for their countries.
Centre forwards. It's a
Yeah.
World Cup of centre forwards, isn't it? Rather than the wingers. I
Yeah.
couldn't put my finger on the plate of winger and say he's ripping it up.
No.
Trying to think who would
In
be
terms
the
of
best
goals,
winger.
Ismaila Sarr and Dembele from wide areas, but Dembele's three of them were in a game, or three of them were half an hour. So you know, so yeah, well, that's classic Dembele, though, isn't it? Yeah, so
Blatantly obvious the goals, weren't they? Oh, he cuts in on his left foot. No, oh, he scored again. Oh, he's done it again. Oh, three times? Really? What did I expect? It was like, so
yes.
yeah, I think there's signs of Lamine Yamal, but I thought they were on the way through the tournament, but
Also,
it's.
I think Spain have got the problem that England have got. England have still got Harry Kane. They've got a 30-year-old Ollie Watkins as the only backup. So, where's the future of centre forwards?
And
I think there's a lot.
Ivan Toney,
Yeah,
who's
yeah.
older.
So, and you look at Spain, and oh, yeah, that's about that. I'll ask you Kelvin's question while we're on. I don't want to criticise Oyarzabal. Okay, so Kelvin, he's a brilliant, intelligent number nine who's becoming more clinical. What's impressed you most about his transition after struggling to adapt to a position he's now made his own for club and country? Do you agree with me that the fact that a very clear national football identity in terms of how teams play is a massive positive? Because I and all of us know Spain, how Spain play, it's something I've never felt watching England teams over the years. I've got a slight. He's done a good job of adapting to that position's been crying out. Morata, obviously, with his inconsistencies, injuries, etc., he could have had that position. He did have, and he could have,
Still should. I know he's not playing on a regular basis, injuries and whatever, and changing clubs, but he's still young enough to have been the focal point of the attack
Yeah,
for
and
Spain.
they brought on Borja Iglesias for a couple of minutes at the end. It's and or Ferran Torres, who again, who is not a natural centre forward. So there is definitely something in the way players are produced that is failing to produce good number nines.
And when they are produced, then they're extraordinary. I mean, Harry Kane, Haaland, definitely. Mbappe isn't the number nine. He's playing there and he's a brilliant footballer and he scores loads of goals. Messi isn't the number nine. Is Julian Alvarez the number nine? I don't think
Not
so.
really. No, Lautaro Martinez
No.
is the nearest, but he's got one goal, I think.
In the whole of his career in the World Cup, not just this World Cup, that was his only goal he's ever scored in the World Cup. So there is, everyone wants to be a winger that plays on the opposite side to their strongest foot. Everybody wants to be a number 10, or we get these, or he's a cross between a nine and a 10. Why don't people want to be Haaland and Harry Kane? And I mean, even Brazil, I haven't seen them with a centre forward. Thiago is one, but
He only played the first game, and then
first
Cunha,
game.
and then Cunha's been well. What was in? We're talking the past tense about Brazil now.
And so that, why don't people want to be that number nine? We're talking about Carlos Espi at Levante, who's a young one. Gonzalo Garcia at Real Madrid is a young one. I'm trying to think who else. Then we joke and laugh about the older ones in La Liga. Borja
Marici
Iglesias
and
is one of them. And the Spanish one is Kike Garcia. I mean, you've got Antti Budimir, who scores goals in La Liga, who's the wrong side of 30. It's hard to see where a replacement for Harry Kane is going to come from. It's hard to see Spain coming up with a 22, 23-year-old centre forward that's I mean, not many do score the goals that Haaland scores. But a prolific goal scorer, a focal point of attack, no one what the youngsters and coaches don't want to coach that type of player. And by the way, while we're quickly talking about Haaland, Sorloth playing right wing, what the hell is that about? Oh, it's
He is
like
an outlet, isn't he? They fire the long ball up to him, don't they? Not to Haaland.
yeah. But when the ball's at his feet,
Yeah.
he can cut on his left and shoot. But it's like, yeah, come on. I hope he doesn't come up with a system where he puts both of them up front. But surely that's the solution. Some sort of system where you get land of the giants up front. But
Yeah.
I mean, not many teams have that traditional centre forward.
England should buy Haaland before Saturday. Born
Yeah, I
in
mean, he
Leeds.
could
Born in
have
Leeds.
played
Why
for England,
isn't he
exactly.
playing for England?
Yeah,
Is it
yeah.
English? Anyway, just on England, on Bellingham. I haven't checked, Terry. The Daily Mail still thinking that Bellingham should be dropped from
Do
the
you know what?
England.
I'm loving it. I'm loving the fact England are doing well, but I don't, England haven't scored a goal yet from a player that plays in the Premier League. Rashford is in between, isn't he? Barcelona last year, and then you've got Harry Kane, and Bellingham scored the rest of the
I find
goals
this an odd
as well.
narrative that I've seen a couple of times. England are being bailed out by Bellingham and Kane. Well, they're England's best players. So it's not a
And to
scandal.
think people were banging on about, well, I don't think I'll take him. He's a bad apple. If he's on the bench, he's going to cause trouble. And we should play this player and that player ahead of him. I'm thinking, and then I did a bit on Talksport on the radio, and they wanted to talk about Spain, but I brought that up first. They said, you watch a lot of Spanish football. I went, that's an underestimate. I've watched every single game that Bellingham has played for Real Madrid since he's been there, and I've never agreed with the assessment of people that barely watch him. Now you're all watching him, and now you all love him. And I've been telling you for 3 years, and it was absolutely ludicrous that, I mean, the other players that were linked with his position are good players. Don't get me wrong, but he's a brilliant player. It's wherever you play him as well. Midfield position, number 10. Him and Harry Kane, England are fortunate to have them. England have some other good players as well. I mean, I don't know if there's a collection. I mean, you're looking at midfield of England, all of them have cost over 100 million. The centre forwards cost over 100 million. Anthony Gordon's just gone for 80 million. It's the value of the England team is off the scale, but that's because they're the Premier League players. They've been in the Premier League.
That's the amount of money in England, isn't it? That distorts that, isn't it?
Anderson, Declan Rice, Bellingham, three there, all over 100 million.
To
I
be
know
fair,
Bellingham didn't play in the Premier League, but
Bellingham doesn't fit that fee because he went from a German club to a Spanish club. But Elliot Anderson's transfer fee is because Manchester City need English grown players for their quotas. So, you wouldn't be paying 116 million quid if he was Croatian.
no.
Right. So is that England done? I thought it was one of the best England games I've
Oh,
ever seen.
clearly. Yeah.
Drama, the having to dig in after the red card
Did
and
you watch it live?
I was in the pub
Yep.
till 4:30 in the morning, Terry.
Oh, you're joking. Oh, no. Yeah, I was irritated because it was a 9 o'clock kickoff instead of 8 out here in the States. That was my minor irritation.
I was in the Mulberry in Didcot, Terry, if you want to know. And it was ticketed, and when they were all going mental about an hour and 45 before kickoff, and I'm thinking this is going to be a long night if you're like peaking like 100 minutes before the game and Sweet Caroline and Wonderwall and everything else. But to be fair, it quietened down a bit for the guests. I could watch the game because that's
not
my issue.
surprised.
But it did mean because it was ticketed, it wasn't that busy. So actually watched the game properly. So it was good. So you watch the game, but you're there with friends. My daughter came, and
Yeah.
it's great. That's the World Cup. It's great, isn't it?
And it'd be interesting to see how beat up England are after that game. 10 men. There's enough time to recover. Playing at altitude, 10 men, dramatic game of football. Javier Aguirre was hilarious,
Weird.
wasn't he? Was
What was that?
that?
So if you haven't seen it, he randomly shouts over, swears at Anthony
Yeah.
Gordon, and then does this kind of Muppet laugh
Yeah.
immediately, doesn't it?
And Anthony Gordon laughed. But did you see what preceded it? He actually called Jude Bellingham over and they have a conversation. They've done lip reading in Spanish. And he's asking Bellingham for his shirt for his grandkid. So Bellingham's laughing. So there must have been a little break in play. Bellingham says, yes, whatever. And then Anthony Gordon's standing close by. And he then says, Anthony Gordon, fuck you. And then just laughs. Gordon laughs. The thing is, people saying it was his last match. But at that stage, he didn't know that was his last match. They could still have another match. But he was worrying about getting Bellingham's shirt. And
It was
bizarre.
funny. It
But
was, and it,
he is bizarre.
yeah,
He
yeah,
over the years, you can't dislike him.
yeah, yeah,
He's
yeah.
forthright. He can be an angry manager when he wants to be, but he's been humorous over the years in La Liga as well. So it was interesting behaviour.
Yes.
They weren't
So.
very good, Mexico, actually, were they? When they weren't smart, conceded their first goal, then switch off again, play against calling possession directly from the restart. They concede. When they were against 10 men, they weren't very smart. England's Tuchel was the better coach. The three centre backs, four in the back five, and Mexico just kept crossing it from poor positions, and it was easy for the big centre backs of England to head away. It'd be interesting to see England in the next game now, of course, against Norway.
Brazil and Ancelotti. So England could have played Brazil, but they got knocked out fair and square by Norway. So I thought it was odd because Norway had vast majority of the possession, don't create an awful lot, and then towards the end, they created one chance and he scored two goals. There wasn't a chance, the one. They
No,
just sort of
nothing.
stood off him a bit, didn't they? And he just
Yeah.
swinging.
Definitely an element of surprise when it went in, wasn't it? It was, oh, you're allowing him. It was almost like they were going and shoot. And he did. And he picks the bottom corner out, and that's it, game over. No, Brazil were dreadful. Awful. All tournament. There's nothing to get excited about watching Brazil anymore. It's a real shame for football. Now, how they're going to change that in the future, I don't know. That essence of Brazilian football, where I've said in the past, we only got to see them very rarely. One or two were played in Europe. But I remember starting out watching football as a real youngster, and none of them played in Europe. And they were different. They were Brazilian. There was a Brazilian style of football. They're not now. They've just
No,
they've
and he went.
colonized into a European team with now they've got a European manager, and it's there's nothing.
He went. We've seen him do this for Real Madrid at times, reasonably effectively, and other times not, where they play effectively just deep and break. And that's what Brazil were doing against Norway. And they did, they had chances. I mean, Bruno Guimarães' penalty miss was, he
Yeah.
bottled it, I'm afraid to say. What about Vinny? Sort of. I mean, he got four goals. We're talking about, the big names really delivering. He hasn't been a star of the tournament.
But he hasn't been bad. I wouldn't pin the blame on him. I think if they need another half dozen finishes, that's the problem. They haven't. And it's a mishmash of things at the moment. Cunha's playing up front. Thiago played up front. Endrick comes off the bench. Neymar, the celebrity sub, came on for them. Similar situation to Ronaldo and Portugal.
But
Other
coming off the
players left
bench,
out of
though.
the squad, coming off the bench. But other players weren't selected. They probably could have been selected. Casemiro still plodding away in midfield. There's nothing to get excited about. Veteran fullbacks that don't play a particularly high club level. There's nothing to get excited about Brazil. I hope that changes. I really do. But I can't see. This is not a slight Ancelotti. I just don't think they have the players anymore.
Right, we don't normally do politics and Donald. There's enough podcasts about Donald Trump in
And
the
also, can I just
Go on.
jump in on that bit about they don't have the players anymore and they can't find a coach? How can Brazil not find a coach? And my take on this World Cup is I'm beginning to wonder now whether the coaches should be eligible to manage their country as well as the players.
So eligible to
Rather
play,
than
same rules as a player.
yes. So rather than we have kind of this unofficial sort of transfer system now. You've got a Spaniard managing Portugal. You've got a Frenchman managing Belgium. You've got an Italian managing Brazil, a German managing England. They're the ones off the top of my head. I'm sure there's loads of others. And I'm wondering now whether, and Brazil have highlighted it for me, not England, Brazil. England have got an issue I've got an issue with as well. Same as Brazil. Why can't Brazil and England produce a coach that's eligible with their football history to manage their team? France have got one, and Deschamps, and then again Zidane. Spain, it'd be a long while till we see a non-Spaniard manage Spain. I that's not going to happen in probably in my lifetime. Because why? Because they produce tons of good coaches. So I kind of feel I'm getting leaning towards now that it should apply to the manager rather than this unofficial transfer market. You've got your players, they're bending the rules, the lines are blurred, you can play for one country and then swap to another if it's not a competitive match. There are loopholes where players' families, it goes back. I get all that, and that's where it's the only thing in football I agree that data should be used. You know, we have these analysts. There should be an analyst. I don't know. When I was coaching Northern Ireland, we probably needed an analyst to find, do you know what? He could, and there are loopholes. You don't have to be born in Northern Ireland. You don't have to be born in Britain. You could be born outside the country and then you're a citizen of Britain and you get a choice of who you play. There's all those little rules and that applies to other countries as well. I just feel now the managers,
So,
coaches should be the nationalities of the team they're managing.
okay, it brings me to an inevitable question. Your experience as an international coach, of course, actually, as it turns out, did you know then you
I knew,
had, right, okay. But Laurie,
yeah.
you were there with Laurie Sanchez, and Laurie didn't have any.
Yeah, he played for Northern Ireland.
Oh, he did. Oh,
Yeah,
yeah. Okay,
his parent is one of his dad was from. Not sure where his father was from, but his mum was
Right, so his
Northern
mum
Ireland.
was right. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I'd forgotten that actually. Fair enough. Right, so you were qualified.
We just met.
And so is that? Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I've got an issue. I might People might have an issue with this.
Because then you've got
I'm
the
not
money.
sure
The bigger
about
nations
the.
have money, don't they? The bigger nations have the money to go out and get Tuchel, Ancelotti. The richer nations in the football world. So that's a disadvantage to the ones that haven't got the money.
So would you? Actually, I can't remember where the Cape Verde manager was from.
Pochettino is another one. And Pochettino, I've read since I've been here, the American Football Association Federation couldn't afford to pay his contract. Billionaire donors have paid towards his contract, and they've said it's a better investment than in buying a football club. That's the story of Pochettino's salary. They've chucked in like 3 or 4 million. A couple of guys who built billionaires have chucked in $3 or $4 million a year each to pay his contract. And it's so that's you know, they wouldn't have done it to an American, but they've gone and got an Argentinian coach who's got a fantastic reputation, done a good job with America. But the American Federation couldn't afford to pay Pochettino, so it's I just feel there is an unfairness about it that, as you said, that the African nations in particular, they can't go out and get Ancelotti or Pep. Pep's available, Jurgen Klopp.
It's a debate. Whenever the AFCON's on,
It's a debate,
this becomes a debate, because loads of the African countries go and get a coach from somewhere else. But I probably err on the side of agreeing with you. I've got a slight issue with the grandparent rule, though. I sort of feel that loads of people feel like they are their family's nationality. So, loads of people move. People move around the world now. More than we ever did. And quicker. So it's fair enough. You could be, I know people who feel Turkish but were born here. Absolutely fine. They can play for Turkey. I'm not quite sure that a grandparent that you never met, is enough.
Great grandparent, it can be
But
as well.
can it?
I think it
I
can be a
don't.
great grandparent.
I'm
I'm
right.
not
I thought it was
sure.
grandparent.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
You could have. It could happen. Like Balogun is not particularly American, but his grandkids are definitely not American.
Depends on, yeah, where they
If
are
he
and
ends up
when
living
they're
there,
born.
fair enough. Anyway, so Patreons, you can give us your view.
So
Everybody
now
else
we
can.
can get back to the politics. That was my form of
That's it.
politics.
Yes, you've done. We've done a
I
bit. This is
know where we're
brilliant.
heading now.
This is like LBC or something, isn't it? We're gonna shout at each other about politics. There are I'd like to There are enough podcasts in the world about Donald Trump. I don't feel like we need to become another one. However, he has come bumbling into the world of into the world of
Don't blame
football.
him.
I mean, he's right, but this, one serious political point. This, we're getting, this is how real politics is done now, and we're getting a look at it in through the football lens, where he admits he didn't know where a red card was when the red
Yeah,
card was shown.
exactly.
But he can ring the FIFA president and say, "Oh, by the way, that shouldn't be a red." And again, most of us agree it was a bad VAR because Balogun, it's just losing his balance. I mean, so Trump's analysis of it is actually right. They are just two athletes competing, and he can't put his feet anywhere.
he plants
So he
his
ends
foot,
up,
and it's yeah.
so he goes down on the player, catches him. It's probably a yellow card, but it's not a malicious act. It's not one for the VAR to get involved, but. Understandably, in a tournament, you don't have an appeals process because you've got to get on with the tournament. So you can't be, sometimes it's a week or two, isn't it? And or sometimes, we're talking about La Liga fixtures for the weekend. We don't know whether someone's playing because they're arguing about whether he's suspended. So you just got to get on with it. And if a mistake is made, a mistake is made. So you can't just have the host nation can't have players being suspended, but other countries can. And Trump's explanation was, yeah, but he's really good. Right.
But Infantino tried to claim he hadn't been influenced by Trump.
Yeah, but then
But then
Trump.
Trump comes out and says, "Oh, I rang Gianni." Oh, so that cat's out of the bag. And
Chucked
then
him
they
under the
try
bus.
to fudge it with there is a process, and that's the difficult part. I agree totally with you. It wasn't a red card. So there should be an appeal process. They should be quicker than what we see. But then VAR shouldn't be getting that wrong. In the first
So,
place, that's the appeals process. It's a
precisely.
red card by the referee. We're going to look at this again. This is the appeal process. In seconds, minutes, it's that appeal's done. So I thought it was the wrong decision by VAR to issue the red card
Well,
or encourage the referee to
in
show the
law,
red card.
sometimes the law get the decisions wrong, and sometimes the appeal court gets the decision wrong. You know that, and we sort of live with it. And in football, it doesn't really matter because it literally didn't matter in this game because Balogun played the next game, they lost it anyway. So,
Exactly. And do you know what they lost also? The goodwill of the rest of the world.
which is a real shame for the
Is.
American soccer fan, the football fans in America who. Obviously, because that team, it was quite likable. They were hardworking. They had something about them. No brilliant players, but and we all want football to be good in America, don't we? We all, there's an obvious financial benefit for that, and an obvious view, millions of football fans. And then, so I do. Yeah, it was a shame for the proper, the hardcore to find themselves. Oh, I can think. Oh God, really? Are we now bloody cheating for this bloody World Cup?
Exactly. And they had this mistaken belief that they were going to win it. I met them out in the States, and there was a genuine belief that they could win it, which is there's nothing wrong with that. But the goodwill from everyone else was gone. Then you keep thinking that you probably ain't going to win it, but we like your spirit. We like the way your team play. But then all of a sudden that was changed to, hang on, this isn't right. There's so much to like about this World Cup, but there's a lot to dislike about this World Cup. We're getting used to the four quarters now. It's four quarters. It's every time it's done, everyone's booing. I'm longing for a 90-minute game of football that's only got half time. I'm reading about an half time World Cup final show that could be 30 minutes long.
That's
I mean,
ridiculous, isn't it? Because that you end up,
them a drinks break in each half, and a third team. It's like.
Because then that's that unhelpful, isn't it? Because I get it's so it is sort of helpful to the players to have a little break and a drink. It's us wanting the entertainment of the game to flow that is the problem with the breaks. Christian is a USA-based fan of soccer, and he is against the breaks and finding it really really annoying.
Changes the sport. It changes the sport completely. You can, as a manager, go, right, we're going to do this first for 20 minutes, get to the break. Or you get to the first break and it's nil-nil and you're under pressure. You can make those quick changes. Right, let's get to half time. You've got to go out and play 20-odd minutes to get to the next break. That's so different from 45 minutes without that official break and a coaching
It makes
session.
it more
And
tactical. It makes it more coach-led. And also, going back to the opening conversation about Ronaldo, you could bring him on at the four, at one, the whatever it is, the 3-quarter break.
Yeah, this run is
Oh,
so
one
wrong
thing I
with
would
Pereira.
definitely,
The third quarter, you meant to say the third quarter. You could bring him on at the end of the third quarter.
the end of the third quarter. Yes, that's it. That's it. I need to get my new language right. That.
So yeah, that's but there's been a lot to like. The atmosphere in the stadiums, there's been, touch wood, I haven't read of any crowd trouble, any bad atmospheres between the supporters. It'd be interesting out in the States now to see what impact it has on the interest in this country. They're still learning about it. They love the fact they're, as I said in the previous podcast, it's the USA against other nations, whereas they're big sports here. They're world champions if you win the NFL. You know, the Seahawks and they're the world champions in the NFL because they won the Super Bowl last year. And you think, look, is that the best you can? So then they're not all pulling together very often. The Ryder Cup is one. Ice hockey is their world champions if they win the Stanley Cup. The NBA, the Knicks are now the world champions. But it's New York against this, this city and that city. So it's not often they get the chance to all come together, and they have. And there are definitely new people watching the sport. I've watched the Germany Paraguay game in a burger bar in where I'm on holiday in Florida, and there's some guys at the bar, and they asked the question. Not to me, they were asking each other and other people, why does a goalkeeper wear a different kit? So that's the
Good question.
extremity of the next the extremity of where this country is at with soccer. They're all suddenly taking an interest in it, but there are a lot of Americans very knowledgeable about soccer. Of course there is. It's been around a long time now in the United States. But there are the World Cup is getting new viewers that new interest because their team are pretty decent, and it's hard to avoid it because it's everywhere. But that goes to show you thinking, yeah, of course the goalkeepers have different kits on to the rest of the team. I
Ever
guess that I'm looking around,
since the days of Bill
looking,
Fatty Falk, Terry. So yes.
yeah, they had polo neck jumpers on, to be
Yes.
fair, back in the day.
Yes.
But when you look at the other sports, they don't have different player
Yeah,
in a
yeah.
different kit,
Because
so
he's
it's
allowed to
not.
he, the ref wants to know which one's allowed to catch the ball and which one isn't. You
I
should have gone
know,
over and said, excuse me,
but
I've got you have a pro license, I can explain this for you.
well, there was an element of me saying, if he scores this, I was with my wife Paula, I'm saying, oh, if Paraguay score this, they're through. And you can see the guys looking because they didn't even know the sequence of penalties were. They'd been drinking as well, I must be honest, but they were sitting at a bar. But it was interesting now. The growth of football in this country is it going to continue with these people that only watched this? You know, they're going to go back to the NFL soon, and the NBA is going to start again, and all the other sports. So it'd be interesting to see if it grabs hold of,
I
brings a lot
mean,
more new people in.
you sort of it's a bit of you hope for it's a bit of rocket fuel that the
Yeah.
growth has got to be over the decades, hasn't it? It's got to be relentless,
And we
but
talk about young people specifically, aren't we? To like you said, the reason I brought this up was because you said about how can America get better? Because they should. I mean, they're pretty good at all the other sports, and it's how can they? They're a different system to the rest of the world. It's a college-based system, scholarships and stuff like that. You know, into Miami, you're not getting 10-year-old kids and signing them up and stopping. You know, New York Red Bulls from buying them and taking them. It's all college and scholarships and until the clubs get their hands on them after a draft pick, I guess,
It's
like the other
interesting.
sports.
Because I mean, there's a lot of coaching in America, aren't there? And kids go
Yeah.
from around, and young people go from around the world to go and play and coach in America. So there's that. I mean, I've never, I don't know, but it seems quite formalized. As one of the criticism of youth development in England now is that it's formalized. It's middle class parents driving their kids to a football session, standing there, and then driving them home again. Whereas I think a lot of people who make it are still coming through that slightly rough and ready route of playing hours and hours and hours a day with their mates in
Yeah.
the street or in now in little courts, where really. No one plays in the street anymore. But if there's a bit of grass or in the what is designed as a
Yeah.
basketball court, but in England they're
Yeah.
always full of people playing football. So it's and I think that's a similar pattern in most of the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
You play loads and loads and loads when you're a kid, and
Yeah.
that's how you develop the the
Yeah,
skills.
and Christian Pulisic might be the example that, and the
Yeah.
other players that they've got, Balogun, that
Yeah.
inspire the youngsters to take up the sport, as opposed to get the pads on and the helmet on and play in the
Yes.
NFL.
Yes. So just to prove, as if we needed proof, that Christian, one of our patrons, is a massive fan of the round ball game. He wants to know why Pep Chavarria is going to Chelsea, which is a niche question and a very good niche question. As a football fan, all right, sorry, yeah. So any thoughts on Pep Chavarria joining Chelsea? He's quick, has pace, but can he thrive as a wing back under Xabi Alonso? I have my doubts, he says.
Well, I find this a really interesting signing. He can
So
play, he's
it's not
good.
done yet, by the way. Yes, so it's not done
No, but he's 28, so he's not 22, 23. Maybe you think, oh, yeah, there is the potential. And we've seen other players, Andy Robertson, that went to Liverpool from Hull all those years ago. You suddenly think, oh, really? And then look how he turned. So there are examples of clubs, big clubs, buying from smaller clubs, but they're normally younger. So 28 is a weird one. Then people say, I've heard people say, but Xabi Alonso knows Spanish football. I'm thinking, does he? He had 6 months at Real Madrid. Before that, he was managing in Germany. How much has he seen of Pep Chavarria? Maybe they played Rio once last year in the time that Xabi Alonso was manager. So there's this not inside information. I'm not even sure if Xabi Alonso chose him. So I don't know. I think he's a decent player. Rio must be thinking, what? Because the amount I think has been offered, some like 12 million euros, and they've turned it down. No one in La Liga is paying 12 million euros for Pep Chavarria. He's not going to Barcelona, Real Madrid, Atletico Madrid, and not to the top end clubs. So what would his value be? And then Chelsea come in and offer 12, and they've got the they must be on the phone going, guess what? We've got Chelsea here. Ask for number five because it's a Premier League club. So whether that's the hold up, I don't know whether Chelsea got a cut off point. I he would compete. I don't know who he's competing with now because Correa's gone to be the left back at Chelsea. Why is there an assumption that Chelsea are going to play wing backs? We don't know. We thought they had Real Madrid and they didn't with Xabi Alonso. Is he going to go back to what he was playing at Leverkusen, or is he a back four? It's just a weird one. There's lots of good players in Spain that you can. It's difficult for Premier League clubs to get as cheap as, say, another club in Spain buying a player from Rayo Vallecano, or a club in Germany buying from Rayo Vallecano. As soon as they're a Premier League club, the price goes up. But there's still good business to be done in La Liga. My preference would be for a younger player.
Yeah, I mean, we debated this before with Isaac, didn't we? Where you and I both thought it, that the transfer from Real Sociedad to Newcastle was overvalued, and then he moves on for 100 million, 100, that third highest transfer fee ever. And I still maintain they could have got him cheaper, Newcastle, and it worked out brilliantly for Newcastle, made a 50 million quid profit, 60 million profit on him.
Totally.
So that they were justified, but I still think that they didn't have to pay as much as they paid for him. And could have got him cheaper, but yeah, there you go. Quilindisi Hartman is going to Espanyol, Terry, from Burnley. There we are. He's good, actually. So,
Is he? I'm not going to have an opinion. Don't know anything about him at all.
Attacking fullback for Burnley. That's gets up and down that flank, as they say. So yeah, I mean, Burnley weren't much of a watch, but he was all right. I thought that was good player. What else have we missed, Terry? Have we missed any other signings or any? I don't think so. Have we? Oh, sorry. I was going to one from Alisson. Sorry, Alisson. From our last one, regarding Nico Paz, plays more as a midfielder number 10, so we'll be competing for a place against Arda Güler and Jude Bellingham. With the signing of Beno Salva, there's no way he was getting time even as a backup, so it makes sense for him to stay in Como. Arguably their best player and a guaranteed start. It makes sense for Real Madrid to have an 80 million buyback in case his value increases after next season. And then she says, I'd love to see Boadi sign for Real Madrid to replace Camavinga if they can sell him. But the rumours suggest Enzo Fernandez is on the radar. And then regarding Julian Alvarez, she believes firmly he will end up as a Barcelona player. And.
Yeah, I think a deal will be done. Have to be done right there. Otherwise, it's going to be difficult for Atleti to move on. And then sometimes you're best just to cut your losses.
As
Make
with
sure you
the
don't lose. Make sure you get a
aforementioned,
deal that suits you. Move on and get a replacement.
Isak deal, which ruined Newcastle's summer, and then ended up, not buying particularly wisely with the money they got for him.
So it's it's gonna be now the teams are getting knocked out as well. Some of the bigger nations, there will be
Yes, well,
transfers
Argentina on in half an hour, Terry. So,
available.
yeah, Julian Alvarez could be out of the World Cup in 2 hours if he get the skates on. So, right, so we don't know the Argentina-Egypt score because they haven't played it yet. Yes. So, right. Thank you, Terry. Go back to the ocean side and the cloudy day in Florida, and we will get together at some point and discuss all of the football that has happened since then. That's as precise as I'm prepared to be. Right, and we will. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Patreons, for your support as well. And we'll see you all soon. Bye-bye.